Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Now, here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. In anticipation of today's show, I read the incredibly thought-provoking book, Conversations with Larkma, written by authors and today's special guests, Pia Smith-Orlean and Colin Baird-Smith. Through telepathic communication, Pia and Colin bring forth inspiring, heartwarming messages of hope, love, and peace through a Pleiadian group called Larkma, who is an interdimensional team of six that comes to assist in the evolution of humanity. This book shares Larkma's wisdom and guidance for living as humans on Earth. It reveals to us our own divinity and provides clarity as to who is here to guide us through our challenging earthly missions. After finishing this book, I can honestly say that my life has changed forever. In the best way possible, I am not the same person I was when I began reading it. It answered so many of the questions I had about our human experience and what we need to do to change the course of our own evolution. It changed the way I view reality. I've been refreshed and renewed, knowing all the exciting possibilities in store for humanity, and my role in how to participate in that change is much clearer than ever before. My special guests today, Pia Smith-Orlean and Colin Baird-Smith, are a couple who, through the energetic merging of their hearts and minds and the joining of their hands, connect to the minds of other light beings who wish to help humanity evolve. Pia holds a PhD in the psychology of consciousness and spirituality. She has accessed parallel realms of light and love since she was a small child. Colin is a visionary, a sensitive, and an energy healer. He has participated with non-ordinary states of reality and supported the healing of others with his own energy since childhood. And together, they have written several books. I am so excited to introduce Pia and Colin to you so you can meet them and hear their incredibly inspiring story. So now, let's give a warm welcome to Pia and Colin. Hi, Pia. Hi, Colin. Thank you for being my honored guests today.
Thank you for inviting us, Randy. We are delighted to be with you and your guests today.
We feel really quite honored to be with you and be on your radio show this morning. Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity.
Oh, it's mutual. It's wonderful. Thank you. I know that you have a very interesting story about how this began and and what you do. So, can you please tell us those things?
Yes.
It's an interesting story. We heard you say that your introduction to Larkma's work changed your life, and I have to laugh and say it certainly changed ours.
We were practicing within our professions for years, and one night on my birthday, one of my birthdays, we were having a celebratory meal, and we heard something in another room.
We got up and walked in to see what the noise was, and we discovered that a shortwave radio had turned itself on. And I looked at the clock, and it was exactly at the moment of Cullen's birth.
Which we thought was kind of interesting.
And synchronistic for something.
So we turned the shortwave radio off, went back to finish our meal, and we just looked at each other and went, that's a pretty unusual thing to happen.
But that unusual thing that happened started happening every day at exactly the time of Cullen's birth. So after about a week of this, we started sitting down waiting on the radio to turn itself on. And one day we simply joined hands and said, who are you and why are you here?
And we immediately began receiving information. It was not auditory at that point. It was what we would call thought forms. And one of us would get a piece of information, and then the other would look at the other and say,
that's exactly what I got. For instance, we would say, why are you here? And I would hear, we're here to help.
We are interdimensional beings. We are from the Pleiades, the star system.
Whatever one of us heard and spoke out loud, the other one would say, that's exactly what I got. So trained us to be able to speak forth this information that was coming through.
And after about a week, maybe 10 days of this experience, the information in the way it came to us changed. We started speaking auditorily what they were telling us.
And then we decided we needed to record it because they were training us in physics, astronomy, medicine, binary systems. They were training us in so many things that we had read about but weren't trained in.
They weren't part of our educational or university training experience.
So we decided to begin recording this information. And the first book that you read, Conversations with Larkma, is a compilation of some of those recordings. There are many, many recorded conversations in the decade we've been doing this, but it's a primer for people to begin to have a different perspective on reality.
So that's how we began our communication. And as Pia said a few moments ago, it certainly changed our lives. We were both practicing our careers, and
Cullen was a
I was trained as a forensic anthropologist archaeologist. So my job in life was to look at things and ask myself, how do these work? What are these anomalies? What can I do to understand humanity in a different way?
And I was trained as a professional psychologist and a somatic worker. And both of us very quickly stopped our work with individuals and began working only with this new information that was coming out for the larger benefit of humanity.
And I have something that I think is quite humorous to share. Pia, as a trained clinical psychologist, had to begin to explain to her colleagues
that I was hearing voices. It was really funny.
So we gently began to tell our friends and our families and our colleagues that we were no longer going to be involved with our practices, that we were going to devote our lives to bringing this wisdom from the stars to humanity to help humanity evolve.
So for the last decade, we've been traveling around the world, Europe, Russia, South America, America, here, North America, sharing this with anybody who's interested and wants to grow and evolve.
That is so fantastic. What a great story. I know the first time you told people, they must have looked at you like, are you crazy? But you know, I've heard other stories similar to this, and these entities tend to be attracted to those who are very, very disciplined in their work, because they know that you will continue the discipline. And so it doesn't surprise me that you were both professional and very disciplined in your work. I think that is almost a prerequisite. They're not going to come to somebody who they don't trust.
That's a very good insight, and I completely agree with you. There's one interesting thing we didn't share that I think is important, though. Many people all over the world are receiving information from other sources. The one thing that's different about our reception of information is that Cullen and I must be connected in order for the information to come through. And they explain that because our human personalities have such a different outlook on life and the way we do things that it completely prevents any kind of filterization of the information that comes through. So the information that comes through as pure truth.
Wow. Now, were the two of you spiritually minded? I mean, obviously you had experiences, and did you have discussions that were spiritually minded?
Yes,
all of our lives.
Okay.
We didn't have what so many people often these days tell us is one day we woke up. We've been awake and having this type of interest ever since we landed on this planet.
Oh,
we've both had experiences with, I guess, what we would call fairies, little people,
angels,
devas. This wasn't a complete surprise to us in Larkma coming to us and asking us to participate with them. But we didn't imagine that we would be doing this particular kind of work. So it was somewhat of a surprise.
I'll bet. Is there anything you want to talk about before we actually bring Larkma through?
I think bringing Larkma through would be a very good avenue for your listeners to become acquainted with what we do.
Okay, so why don't we do that? You said it takes about 30 seconds maybe to bring Larkma through, so we'll just give you those 30 seconds and let you do that.
Hello, dear ones. We are Larkma, and we are here to support you in your human evolution. You have questions. How may we support you by sharing our perspective?
Larkma, thank you so much for coming to us today. As a devout student of life and conduit through which others can learn, I have many questions. I have communicated with other entities through other channels, and I've read the dictations of several others. While the essence of what all you say is the same, there are variances in details. For instance, you were the first to talk about the first sense and communicating through our water. How do you account for those differences?
For one thing, because we come through two humans rather than one, we are able to access information from two opposite libraries and two opposite brains and pull them together in a unified form so that the information received is more available to all in a way that you can hear it differently. What we are sharing, there is time for listening to. In other words, the opening is available now, and we are here to share information in that opening of available interest and energy. When we come through Pia and Cullen, we are able to access the varying words that you need to hear to understand in a different manner than you may have understood in listening to others. We do agree with you that truth comes in many sources. And yet, when we are able to open pathways of communication through connecting with two human beings who happen to be very much joined in love and light, and who are communicating already as we do, that is, through tones and heart-to-heart communication rather than strictly verbal communication, then accessing the words that we need has a greater potential for human understanding on a different level. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it makes very, very good sense to me. Yes. So do Pleiadians have a change of form from one existence to another like humans do, or are you so advanced that you are always in a state of pure energy?
We are in what you would call waveform, meaning that we are constantly moving and shape-shifting into whatever form is necessary in the present energetic moment. We are here to help humans understand how also to move into wave form through accessing and becoming their rainbow body. You are, as a species, right now very stuck in what we call static form. You think or believe that your outer skin and what is contained in your skin is not the totality, but the largest proportion of who you are. You are aware of your soul and your mental bodies, and you are aware that these things exist, and yet you still tend to focus most of your attention on the physical third-dimensional form. What we share with you from our perspective is to help you break the boundaries of living in that form, for while you are here in that form, under duality, you are experiencing a great sense of separation, conflict, competition, and suffering. When you move closer into waveform, you move closer to unity, and in unity, you experience your natural state, those feelings which you remembered as an infant, but forget as you come into age, that is, joy, trust, love, and compassion. And so, as you learn more about energy, thoughts, emotions, and how to use the consciousness of your physical form, you become more like us, able to move into waveform at will through the use of a rainbow body.
Very interesting. I have a question about you. If you are pure energy, how and why do you claim a particular location as your home?
We do that, and it is a wonderful question. We do that for humans to be able to anchor into accepting the reality of who we are. We claim a home because you claim a home. Many of you claim Earth as your home, and yet more and more who are listening to your show, Randy, and others who are waking up around the world are beginning to say, I want to go home. I know I'm not from here. What that indicates is an increasing awareness that you are not stuck in one form, but that you can attach to what we call home. What we define as home is a state of being in heart resonance and love, using the energies of the present in every present moment as is necessary. We are not actually from the Pleiades. We are from much, much farther away and longer ago. However, we use the Pleiades because so many of you who are awakening to the higher levels of consciousness have had influences from Pleiadian interstellar beings and who know that Pleiadian is a synonym for awakening.
Thank you. That is very interesting. You really did answer my question. That makes
we
a lot of sense to me. Yeah, you did. You did. Where do we go when our physical, as human beings, our physical bodies die and we ascend? Do we rejoin our soul group and loved ones? And how is that experience in that state different than our physical existence?
Ah, that is a very large question. We will divide the question into two. The question
Perfect.
About your physical experience is an awakening to remember and understand that having a body gives you access to understanding reality in a different way. Your body has consciousness, And yet most humans refuse to understand the consciousness of the body, preferring instead to focus upon the consciousness of the mind and thoughts. When you become more knowledgeable, you understand that everything is energy, and the thoughts that you think as energy create the form of your physical body and other things in your physical experience. It is a progression of experience that causes you to have physical form. And so, the question about how is it different is that where your focus is, where you concentrate your attention, gives you the experience of difference, either the experience of being focused on physical form and a third-dimensional reality, or the experience of an expanded consciousness that helps you realize you are universal citizens connected to more than simply this planet. You are beings made of water on this planet, and you are beings made of starlight coming from the divine. These differing aspects constitute the totality of who you are. Now, the second portion of your question, what happens when we die, is determined upon human choice. We call your transition from your earthly form into other form ascension. Many of those of you who listen to other light movers speak or other information from interdimensional communications tend to think of moving towards ascension in linear form because you have been trained to think of linearity, moving from third dimension to fourth to fifth. But it is not a progression in a linear form. Your progression spirals because everything in life and everything in the universe spirals. Look at the example of a nautilus shell, or look at the pictures of different galaxies within your solar system, and you will see the essence of the spiral. That is the way you are formed as well, and so your progression in consciousness moves through a spiral. In this progression towards ascension, you have the greatest power of choice. Choice means that you can attach to your traditional beliefs and thoughts you have about what happens when you leave physical form, and those who attach to those thoughts and beliefs go through ascension in the traditional way called death. You die out of the physical form and you move into a karmic pattern where you may reincarnate into another physical form at another time. But at this particular energetic moment on Earth, you have a greater opportunity to learn to develop the process of ascension in a different way. That process of ascension allows you to move into the rainbow body form we just spoke of earlier, meaning that you are combining your physical form and your etheric form, and you have the choice to move back and forth at will from physical solid form to waveforms such as we are. It's a progressive evolutionary step for humanity. Every choice you make determines which path you will take, ascension through death, the traditional mode, or ascension through consciousness, where you motivate yourself to move into rainbow body form. Those who move into rainbow body form will be as we are, joining with whatever members of your light family or others as you choose, free to make choices because you are at a conscious level of awareness that is not so controlled by lower thoughts, lower beliefs, and lower desires. Those of you who choose to hold on to your traditional beliefs will go through death as the old traditional way of ascension. What happens at that time is also determined by choice. In the past, all who left this planet moved out into joining other guides, family members, and loved ones to review their life and then come back into a karmic situation here on this planet to learn a different set of lessons. At this time, the choices are different. Those who choose not to go with the Earth, as the Earth is on her own path of ascension, those who choose to stay with the traditional form of death will move into what we call the golden trough of light, where you will be held until right timing, and in the right timing, you will be guided by others of love and light to begin another karmic pattern that will be on another planet, not Earth. Does that answer that question sufficiently for now?
Very well, Lakma. Very, very well. Actually, it answered another question that I had, so thank you. Many people have experienced alien encounters here in the physical world. Who are they, and why do they come? Because some harm humans while others help humans. Are some aliens dark energy and some light energy? Who are they?
We do not wish to judge any other energetic form, so we will begin answering this question by telling you, even the dark serves the light. And it is important as you approach unity in your consciousness that you not be afraid or judge things you have perceived to be dark. That being said, yes, there were some energies who were what you perceive as harmful to humanity, and they came here to control those on this planet and to prevent their evolution so that they could control the planet at large and prevent humanity from reaching your awakened state and remembering who you truly are. However, that is not allowed anymore in the universe. That period of exploration by other interdimensional beings is over. You are protected by love and light all around you, for the focus of most of the universe is on the path of evolution of humanity and the ascension process of this planet. So those beings who are being perceived now, for the most part, come from love and light. Some humans do perceive other beings that are not from love and light, but you can send them away quite simply by simply, when you perceive them, saying, "I send you love," and then they leave. They are not allowed to interfere with you unless you enter into a state of fear. When you send love, they go away.
Wow. Now, so the laws of the universe that have changed, are they created by Source or by universal consciousness? How is that created?
That's a very good question, and one we cannot answer quite adequately for human understanding, but we will try. Source is unity, is love. Source is the understanding that all is connected. The concept of doing everything in unity requires that you appreciate and accept varying individual aspects of who you are. When you approach Source, when you join the organizational field of the cosmos, there is no hierarchical structure that determines who does what. What happens is your awareness increases until you become in a state where you understand what you do affects everything else. So therefore, you choose your actions from a consciousness, knowing that what you do affects not only yourself, but all others. In other words, you are co-creators with Source. You are part of Source. You have simply forgotten that because in your current state, you are living in a world of separation and duality, a world where you judge everything as either good or bad, rather than seeing how dark and light work together. A good example of moving beyond this is noticing that you do not dislike the dark of the night sky. You appreciate it for what it can offer. You do not judge it. In the same way, as you expand your awareness and shift your perceptions, you begin to understand that you are co-creators with Source, and when you stop judging and send out love to all, everything blends with individual aspects of yourselves contributing to the greater whole.
I think you answered that very well, Lakma. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I want to ask you about animals. I love and I have great respect for animals. When I look into the eyes of every creature, I see their souls. I'm concerned. What happens to animals that are slaughtered? Do they suffer repercussions of past or parallel life trauma, or do they understand that their purpose here is to provide food for others?
Well, first of all, you are incorrect in your assumption. Their purpose here is not to provide food for others. That is a misconception and an old belief long held on to by humanity. Before humans intervened with the animal kingdom, it was a peaceable kingdom, and animals did not even eat themselves. They did not eat one another. That picture you have had that has been told to you historically and which you witness in nature currently came from an injection of fear, competition, conquering, control, energies of separation. Animals are here to teach you unconditional love and how to respond to energy in its present moment. For animals do not rely upon the past or the future. Animals move into interaction with every energy exactly in the present moment. They are your teachers. They are not your food. One of the things humans must understand in order to move into the new level of ascension we have spoken of, and to eliminate war, to stop competition, to get rid of greed, all the things that you wish to do will begin the moment you stop eating each other. Meaning, don't put yourself above the animals. Simply stop eating and recognize that it is a fallacy to continue to believe that you need the meat of animals to sustain yourselves. Upgrade your science, dear ones.
I am so happy to hear that. So what about these animals that go through this slaughter? How does their soul and their consciousness deal with that?
It is no different than a human being who is murdered. Slaughter is slaughter, and the death energy enters into the sphere, and the animal or human must reincarnate or reintegrate themselves in another form and heal the abuse that has been perpetrated upon them.
Oh, gosh. That is a message that must get out, Larkma.
Well, when you eat animals, you're ingesting the choice to die, to go through ascension in the essential form you have believed in for thousands of years. You live and you die. When you stop ingesting the energy of death in your diet, your consciousness of your body expands into a much more awakened state, and you find you do not need the same nutrients to nourish yourself. Your body automatically moves into a way that you can nurture yourself with the essentials of love, light, water, and green living foods, foods that produce from fruits and leaves of trees and vegetables that can reproduce themselves and are not killed for your benefit.
When you say reproduce themselves, what are you referring to?
Even if you eat a root vegetable, such as a carrot or a potato, if you take part of that root and replant it in the earth, a new carrot or a new potato is born, and it is part of the same one. So it is reproducing itself while simultaneously offering its gift.
Okay. So if we are taking from the earth and not giving it back or recycling it back into the earth, then we are committing, correct?
Yes. Accurately, that would be correct. It is a harsh way to view it, and many will be repelled by this particular terminology. We would say focus on the fact that it is an unconscious action and strive instead to be more conscious rather than labeling it with such terms.
You're absolutely right, and as you could probably hear in my voice, I hesitated to say that word. I don't like that word, murder, and I couldn't think of something on hand. So thank you for putting that into perspective for us, Larkma. You are very, very wise.
It is important, Randy, for your listeners to understand that the words that you use carry a certain energy, and do not use them simply because they are of a habit. When you find a word such as murder that does not resonate with you, seek another way to express the concept that does not imply judgment or does not make you feel uncomfortable. That way you elevate your language through the energy of words you choose to use.
Thank you. Thank you. And when I have time, when I'm not limited, and I know time is something that you don't have, but when I have, when I'm limited in time because of my show, sometimes I have to come up with these words pretty quickly. So, but thank you for putting that into perspective. I appreciate it. And thank you for speaking to us today, Larkma.
We are grateful for the opportunity, and we wish you and all of your listeners a curious, joyful, evolutionary journey of joy, trust, love, and compassion. We love
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Good always.
We love always, Larkma. We love you, too. Thank you. Can we bring Pia and Colin back in now?
Yes. It takes us a moment to reestablish ourselves, but we're on the way.
Okay.
Hi, Randy. We are back.
Okay. Now, when you are channeling, I know you don't use that word, but when you're bringing through Larkma, do you know what you're saying, or is it afterwards that you listen to tapes and then you know?
There's a double answer in that one.
We are fully conscious of every word, every term, every nuance.
Every feeling. As long as it's a public presentation like your radio show or a public gathering. But there's another circumstance where we don't remember. Larkma began doing personal sessions for people a number of years ago, and those sessions, when they are occurring, likewise, we know everything that's going on. But the minute the sessions are over, we laughingly say Larkma has turned and flipped an on-off switch, but we no longer remember on personal sessions like we do on public ones.
And that allows the person who is synchronized personally with Larkma to be assured that it is absolutely confidential and only for them. No one else will ever know the content of the communication unless that person chooses to share it with someone else.
Very, very smart. Wow. We have so much to learn here on Earth.
We do.
An opportunity to learn it.
Yes. I just love learning. We are coming down to the wire here on the show, and I know that you have a website, and I know that you have ways that people can listen to Larkma and talk to you. So would you please share that with us?
Sure. Our website is just like Larkma's name. It's Larkma, LARKMAA.com, and we provide on there articles and recordings that Larkma gives us so that people can remain available to their information on a regular basis. We release a new message once a week, sometimes more than that. We also have an opportunity for people to call in and speak with Larkma and ask questions once a month on an international live call, and the information on that is on the website as well.
So there is a very large amount of archived information that dates back years and years on the website so that people can familiarize themselves with Larkma's wisdom.
The Larkma's books, the books, are also available on the website for people who want to see it in print form. They can order the books straight off the website. And we also have information about public gatherings that we do. Traditionally, we have spent our time traveling, as we mentioned earlier, around the world. But this year, we are hosting gatherings locally in the United States, for people to be able to come and share their own growth, evolution, awakening, and awareness.
And to spend time with like-hearted people in a very, very supportive and wonderful atmosphere.
This is really important, particularly right now, because in all the thousands of people we talk to across the world, we hear the same questions about when are we going to form community? What's happening in our physical bodies right now? What's going on Earth? How can we communicate differently? And these gatherings that we do answer those questions and allow people also to find their own answers by coming together.
And you list these gatherings on your website.
We do. The first one's coming up very soon. It's in Santa Fe on April the 24th, 25th, and 26th. And the focus of energy on that particular gathering, it's called A Resonance of Hearts. And it's focusing, LARCMA has promised to teach us to communicate like they do, to move outside the bounds of our human limited word-oriented communication. They say that they're going to teach us how to do that, and then those who come will learn to take that out into the world wherever they go and help others. So it's a big step in evolution.
That is. Well, I would love to attend one of those. I can't come in April, but I'm going to definitely check out your calendar and see where else you're going to be.
Well, if that doesn't work for you, the second one's in November, so it's not too far away.
Okay, and where is that going to be?
That will also be here in Santa Fe.
Okay. Is that where you live?
Yes.
Yes, and we are choosing Santa Fe to be here now and to present here now because there are so many people from around the world coming to Santa Fe at this time as a point of light.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've never been there, but I would definitely come for that, so I will check your calendar. I want to thank you so much, Pia, Colin, and LARCMA, for bringing us this wonderful information today. And I know that we have all grown as a result of it. So thank you so, so much.
Well, thank you, Randy. We truly appreciate this opportunity to speak through this kind of radio show and this avenue to reach as many people as possible. So we feel very, very appreciative that you've included us in your radio show today.
And thank you for the conscious awareness of orchestrating the questions that are going to help so many people. What you brought to your radio listeners today will certainly open a lot of eyes and ears and help us all. So thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope that we will be in touch. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, our time is up for today, and I could have gone on and on with that because there's just so much to learn. But you know how to contact P and Colin and listen to more that LARCMA has to share, more wisdom. But if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. That's loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And my website, randygfine.com. Remember, Randy's always spelled with an I. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my show, so you can leave comments for me there as well. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. And the more followers I have, the more recognition the show will get and the more this information can get out there to the masses. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandyGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.